What's up, everybody? I've got a fun one for you today. Our first ever return guest on the Going Deep podcast, Larry Gioia from episode 3 returns to continue the conversation about connection. We recorded once again in his dining room and focused on the topic that is nearest and dearest to Larry's heart, how to be a better connector, how to always be connecting the dots, his mantra ABCD that he lives by day in and day out. Wanted to really work to scale this. So in today's episode, we talk about some tactics that you can employ to get better at being a connector today. This week, you can implement some of the things that Larry and I recommend, and you will be a better connector. But if you want to continue to grow, if you want to continue to develop as a connector, then we've actually started a Facebook group called Connection University, with the goal being a location that we can share things that we've learned, celebrate those who are kind of taking their connection game up to the next level, and be a resource and a sounding board for those looking to make better connections in whatever they're doing. So we talk about a lot here. If you're inspired by it, it's a bit of a longer episode. We do go back and forth quite a bit. But if you're inspired to be a better connector or want to just jump to the too long didn't read version of it, head over to Facebook and look up Connection University. It's a group there, or find me on Facebook, Twitter, wherever on social media, and I will make sure that you're a part of it. We want to have as many people in as we can who are focused and dedicated to being better connectors. So would love to see you over there, and would love it if you'd enjoy my conversation with Larry Gioia.
By the way, if I'm looking at my watch, I get messages on here, so don't think I'm pushing you for time.
If I'm holding my phone up like this, it's because I'm taking a Snapchat. So don't panic.
Okay.
Alrighty. So let's just get into it. We've been recording this whole time. I didn't even tell you.
No. But you're going to cut all that out of there.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. So we're here talking in Larry's living room.
Or Welcome
Larry's
back.
Dining room. Welcome back. Where we all started episode 3. This is going to be over episode 130, I don't know the exact number, but it's crazy that
120+ episodes ago, here we were at the very beginning of your journey, and it's been awesome to see what you've done along the way, man.
Yeah,
congratulations.
I'm mildly more polished, slightly better equipment, so hopefully we can produce another good episode. But the reason I wanted to come back was at the end of episode 3, you issued a great challenge to the audience, and that's something we've continued to build on, getting other great challenges from other guests. But when I even cite, so someone will come on the show's new, never heard the show before, and they'll ask, you know, what is an example of a good challenge that you can issue? I'll cite yours among some others as quality ones, which was find 7 people in your network, connect them with 7 other people, as something that's just both actionable. It's not self-centered. It's something that you can kind of go out and affect your community and affect others without necessarily seeing like an immediate ROI for yourself, but really challenge you to also kind of push outside your comfort zone. So wanted to kind of return to that, allow you to talk a little bit again about the ABCD philosophy and kind of build from there. But maybe if you want to kick things off and just remind people what the ABCD philosophy is.
Yep.
And a little bit about how you developed it or where it came from.
Yeah, sure. So it's obviously great to be back. And let me just start with, you know, first of all, giving you some major kudos. And with what you've done with this podcast, it's just been awesome. Obviously got to know you personally over the past year since you've been doing this. And I'm super excited about what you're doing. And you know, I did go back and listen to the episodes. I'm a longtime listener. I went back and listened to some other episodes. And something I found, whether you realize it or not, is that 75% of your episodes, you utter the word connection, or you say the word authentic, or you talk about community in every single one of your episodes. Either you say it or your guests say it. So I think as you think about what we're going to talk about today, this is an underpinning of your entire podcast. And so I think it's awesome they're coming back and talking about it because it is so entwined in the DNA of your podcast, is this notion of connection. And it's so it's organic and authentic. And I just give you the kudos for calling that out again. So it's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, for those who are just kind of chiming in 120 episodes later,
yeah.
ABCD, always be connecting the dots, is what we talked about back in episode 3. Something that I have, you know, I continually, you know, shape my own thinking around as it relates to my own entrepreneurial endeavors as well as my own work. Everything is connected, right? I'm not trying to I'm not reinventing anything here that hasn't already been said centuries ago and those before us. You look at what Steve Jobs talks about with connecting the dots, and what Richard Branson says about connecting the dots, and Michelangelo, and all these guys have always pushed the notion of everything being connected. And where innovation happens is when you begin to connect the dots that were otherwise not linked together. And so my whole philosophy around this notion of connecting dots is not just connecting ideas, but connecting people. And that's how you and I obviously got to know each other. But why I think you and I are such good friends is that we have a true passion for sharing our networks and making sure that we're introducing people together. Again, as you said from the very beginning, is not out of expecting something in return, but the magic that happens when you connect people who wouldn't otherwise be connected. That's something pretty cool that when that happens. So ABCD, always be connecting the dots. And I'm looking forward to talking about those who are kind of thinking about it today and what they can do to kind of get into the game and become connectors.
And I think one of the most important points I can make and just realizations I've come to in the last year is that being a connector, someone who's facilitating these connections, or in your case, really being an advocate for it and educating others about making these connections, is that it's not work. It doesn't feel like an obligation or something that's tough. It's something that starts to feed on itself. And an example is one of the other days, a friend was asking me if I knew anybody who was involved in Pittsburgh's rivers, keeping them clean, having them looking nice, and organizations related to that. And, you know, without hesitation, I was like, oh, I think I know. So I know someone who I think's involved and will definitely know someone who is involved. So I reached out to you, and her like next, I think, text that she sent me was, well, no, don't do anything. I was just curious. Like, I don't want like take away from the things that you're doing. And I think that I had a text back from you in 2 seconds saying, yeah, I know someone, I'm also involved, so I can talk about it. And there wasn't any sort of friction there when it's someone who's passionate about a project and you're connecting them with someone who wants to learn more.
Yep.
That wasn't any real sort of burden for me. I loved doing it. I loved being able to facilitate that to some degree. And you know, she was like apologizing, like, I'm sorry to like be taking away from your time or something. It doesn't feel like that at all. It's something that I love doing. It doesn't take a lot of time once that momentum starts to get going. And communicating that as much as anything else with this episode is what I really hope to do, is just help people be aware that once you start facilitating connections for other people, there is a kind of momentum and snowball effect that starts to get going. I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that that young lady who you connected to me, since emailed her back and forth a couple times, and she's very gracious. I think it was one of those things. So I don't know her, you do. So I look forward to meeting her and helping her however I can. I think that's a good example of someone who just doesn't know what they don't know yet, right? And so they're very appreciative of the opportunity to be connected. But little does she know that it was nothing more than you picking up the phone or making a text within your network, somebody you know, and it didn't cost you anything, and we're going to help her kind of connect the dots in Pittsburgh, and I think we can do that. So yeah, to your point, I think that's a good example of, even for folks who are listening here, the things we're going to talk about today is just put it out there. What do you have to lose? Just make the request, see where it can go, and see what happens next.
Certainly. And one of the first things I really wanted to kind of hammer in on today is kind of this difference between connections, one-to-one connections, and quote-unquote networking. Because I think that, you know, for people in all different phases, the networking term, unfortunately, can kind of come with this like maybe dirty or unpleasant taste with it. And I know that when I was just getting started, before I'd even launched the podcast and was trying to do professional networking, business networking as I left college, I didn't really know what that necessarily meant. And I went to, you know, some events where it seemed like the purpose was to hand out your business cards as many times as you could in a half hour without any sort of real depth or understanding or any sort of, you know, real clear value of the connection happening. Not that there isn't value in just connecting with as many people as possible, but I want to kind of dig a little deeper with you on what the distinction is, or what you think really is the key to making these connections, and how people can replicate that themselves based on some of the tactics that we're going to lay out later.
Yeah, sure. I think it's a great point. And, you know, this notion of networking versus connecting, and, you know, one of the things that I tell and advise, you know, even just students coming out of school and other professionals, is stop networking, start connecting. And as you said, right, there is just, there's a huge difference, because, you know, you can have a network of 200 people, Okay, 2,000 people for the conversation. I would rather have 20 people who I have a connection with versus 200 people in my network. And when I talk about connection, there's, you know, adjectives that come along with that. So authenticity, empathy, right? This notion of humility. These are the kind of things I think about when I differentiate connection with a network. I will always come back to quality over quantity every day of the week. And I think about it in as much as, so those 200 people, I have them in my network, but would I feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling them or sending them a message on LinkedIn or reaching out to them if I needed something? Maybe not. Maybe a couple of those I would, but I'm looking to build connections where I know I can almost guarantee that if I have 20 people that I have a true connection with, where we have authentic relationship, we have empathy, you know, we're authentic in, you know, our relationship together, I can reach out to those 20 people. And because I know them and they know who I am and what we stand for and our values, they can almost guarantee me at least an introduction to somebody. And that person is more than likely to give me a call back or send me an email back. And the example that you talked about earlier is because you knew me and I know you and I trust you, you're not going to connect me with someone unless you know that they're worth the time in talking to you. And I'm happy to do that because of their connection to you. And the same thing applies here. So I think one of the differences between networking and connecting is building true, authentic relationships where there's trust involved. And I think that can go so much further than just building a Rolodex of people.
And if you're looking to build trust with people, I think another big part of it is giving first and not, I mean, you could see it on like a cold calculating level of like, I want the leverage in this relationship, or I want to like, I know this is like some sort of social shortcut. But the reality is that it's also how those relationships actually flourish. If you're looking for ways to help the other person, and getting back to the example of these networking events, there's people there and, you know, tip of the cap to them, they're hustling, they're trying to make it happen for themselves. But in the first 10 seconds, there's this difference between I'm introducing what I do and just kind of talking about it versus I'm given the hard pitch, the hard sell, and I probably don't even remember your first name because I'm just so ready to give the pitch. And that's something, you know, I've had to negotiate as I've progressed and just being comfortable telling people I'm a podcaster, you know, wondering if they'd be interested in listening to the show. It's never the first thing out of my mouth is, hey, you should check out this episode, or you need to listen to my podcast, because it's much more, what do you do? Oh, tell me more about that. Can I figure out a way that my relationship with you can be valuable, as opposed to just pitching whatever I have in my pocket?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you touched on, and the key word there is relationship, right? I think of not a one-to-one, but I think of networking kind of as a transaction. I'm networking, I'm giving out business cards, I'm talking about who I am, I'm pitching, and there's a time and a place for that. Of course, depending on kind of what you're doing. Networking is to transaction, as connecting is to relationships. So think about whatever business you're in. If you are in the business of selling a good or a service or whatever it is, do you want to be transactional, or do you want to be relationship driven? Every business we're in, regardless of what it is, you break it down to its bare bones, it's about the relationship. Relationship driven business development, right? Come back to just the personal connection that I have with other folks who've been on your show and who I've connected you with or otherwise. They've been happy to do that because it's less about a transaction. There's nothing about like, there's nothing in this for me, right? I'm not getting paid for it. I'm not getting, you know, a little spiff on the side for it. I want nothing in return. But because of the relationship that I have and that you have and just you have built, and that those connections, it's about the relationships. And that's what drives authenticity, and not about the transaction. Because the transaction, people are tired of the transaction. That's what we live in day in and day out. It's about creating empathetic relationships.
Yeah. And I also take that responsibility very seriously. When you do make an introduction, if I take that lightly, if I don't follow through, then that not only doesn't look good to the person you've connected me to, but to our relationship as well. So if someone then subsequently, you know, comes on the show and has a terrible time, or I act unprofessionally or don't follow through, then, you know, that's kind of mismanaging or disrespecting the trust that we've built between each other as well. I want to move into some tactics, some like actionable takeaways, something we're always into on this show that people can take away with to help them foster more connections in their life.
Okay, cool.
Things that they can do that's actionable, you know, within the next week, month, that will help them be a better connector. If you're a total connection noob, then we want to take you up to the starter level. If you're average, we want to take you to that super connector level or wherever in between. We definitely want to help you improve, because we're also looking to improve as well. And so hopefully we can talk through and steal some ideas from each other as well.
I like it. And the format here is going to be, if I understand correctly, you're going to throw an idea out there. We'll chat about it. I'll throw an idea out there, and then we'll see kind of how they might be able to even, let's connect the dots here. Let's see what your ideas and my ideas, they come together and they form something new. I'm looking forward to this. It should be fun.
Absolutely. So the first one that I wanted to start off with is doing something for free for someone that you'd like to connect with. So this is particularly valuable for kind of the young person starting their career, maybe still in school or fresh out of school, and you don't have the resume or the credentials or necessarily that building block thing that you can hang your hat on and will open a door for you. Mm-hmm. And so in order to kind of get your foot in there, how do you offer something of value to someone who's, you know, in the working world, maybe a couple rungs up the ladder, or has this bigger reputation, or just has more limited time than you do? The other reality is, for a lot of 23, 24 year olds, you just have a lot more time. You don't have the same responsibilities other people have. So there's countless examples of this, but just to throw a couple out there, if you're trying to meet someone who's started a nonprofit, go volunteer for their nonprofit. Go figure out a way that you can help them. A great example, we had Layla Zarondo on the show before, and she's part of 412 Food Rescue, also involved in the Braddock Free Store. And if you wanted her time, one of the best ways to earn that attention is to volunteer and help make her nonprofit more successful, because that's something she's very passionate about, something she's putting her time into. And all those types of organizations can always use more hands on deck and more helpers.
That's a beautiful example. And for those who are listening in here, I'm giving Aaron a huge thumbs up right now. I could not agree more. I think that the notion of volunteering and giving away your time, this exchange of value, it doesn't have to be monetary. Again, getting back to the relationship. And, you know, 412 Food Rescue, volunteering your time, that value exchange to deliver what would otherwise be food that will be going to waste to somebody who can use it. And all you're doing is giving your time. You're creating a relationship, not just with 412 Food Rescue, but with the overall movement of ending of hunger and food waste. So you're creating a relationship with that movement, but also with Leia, also with her organization and the broader community here in Pittsburgh. So I couldn't agree more. I think volunteering your time is a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Absolutely. And there's other examples. So maybe there's a business owner or someone who has a YouTube show, perhaps. This was an example I've been thinking of, is someone out there with, you know, maybe you're just trying to start to build whatever type of media you may be creating. Maybe you're a blogger, maybe you're a podcaster like me, maybe you want to start making videos on Facebook or YouTube. One of the things you could do is make a mashup of some of their best quotes or pieces of advice.
That's pretty cool.
And repurpose their content for them, give them something new that they can share with their audience that will be fresh, that shares them in a good light. And that's a great way to start a conversation. With a business owner, you could be putting together a marketing plan, you could be putting together some sort of resource sheet, or giving them an actionable piece of advice and not hiding it behind some paywall or saying, you know, I could help you, but you've got to pay me first. Once again, getting back to giving first, showing that you can be valuable, showing that you can be a resource, and then starting the conversation from there, not making it transactional. Well, I did this, yep, Now you owe this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, let me take this one step further. And this is something that's a real world example of this for some of your younger listeners, right? I know a lot of your folks who listen to the podcast are executives and entrepreneurs and very well established. Let's go for the young guy or gal who's in college, who has the summer internship opportunity. For my nephew, maybe listening to this, had a couple options this summer for internships. And he had the paid internship, which was kind of cool. But then he had, which really wasn't in his wheelhouse, not exactly what he was studying, but it was paid. Earn a couple bucks this summer, that'd be great. And then we had an opportunity where he had an internship where it wasn't paid, but he'd be doing exactly, it was exactly what he wanted, at least in the world of kind of social media and digital. And we had the conversation, says, okay, do you want to do the internship where you get paid and kind of, you don't really know what it's about? Or do you sacrifice that couple thousand bucks for the summer that was otherwise money to go back to school with, and we'll hold off on what he uses that money for, beer money, whatever that is. Or do you go for the experience, right? And so exactly to your example, is that he went with, and not to his uncle's recommendation, but on his own accord, weighed out the options, and went with the internship where he had the best experience. Didn't get paid for it, and gave away his time, but that's going to come back to him tenfold. Now when he graduates, he's going to already have it on his resume. He has a connection not a network. He has a connection that he made that summer, and the connections that he made this summer, because he gave away his time, that will come back and pay dividends for years to come. So for your younger listeners, thinking about the pros and cons of those paid internships versus paid internships or wherever you are, yeah, think about the pros and cons of that and think about the downstream impact and return that can have. The ROI on those connections is awesome.
When you're analyzing two different positions for the connections that would be possible, is there anything specifically that you'd look for? Oh, it seems like this opportunity would offer more connections than the other opportunity. What would your decision-making paradigm look like?
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't get so analytical about whether I'm going to connect with someone or not, yeah, or something. And obviously we're talking about people connecting here in this context. You know, I'll come back to what I said earlier, and I'll be a broken record. It's about authenticity. And about, you know, can I feel like I could work with this person again in whatever context? Would I feel comfortable introducing this person to somebody else and feel good about doing it? Or would I have to like cringe my teeth and saying, you know, this is my buddy Aaron who I just happened to meet a couple years ago, and yeah, you should talk to him. Yeah. You know, I want to become an advocate for people. That's really the measure of do I truly want to connect with this person? Like, I'll talk to anybody and you'll talk to anybody. That's just the nature of who we are. But I really make an effort to bring out the best in people and find out what, again, we talked about from the very beginning, what makes them tick. That's something I'm very interested in. That to me is truly the measure of if they're forthcoming with how they think and how they operate, they've given me enough ammunition to go, I should go sell them. That to me is a measure of how much I really want to spread the gospel and help connect the dots.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, let me pick off of that for a second here, because I think one of my tactics that kind of build off of that. So, you know, one of the things I really love about not just Pittsburgh and the entrepreneurial community here and the folks that, you know, we kind of get to know in the community is there are those who make introductions. So you're standing around in a social setting. You know, we attend Unstuck together, and it's awesome to meet new people there every single week. There are those people who make the connection, though, hey, this is Aaron and this is Kit and this is John. And they make the connection and that's it. It's like dead air for a second. It's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. There's that. That's awesome. Then there are those people who make the introduction like, hey, this is my buddy Aaron. You should meet Aaron. By the way, Aaron has this awesome podcast. He's been at this now for about a year and a half. You know, he's really been hustling, made it to the new and noteworthy on iTunes in his first 3-4 months of his podcast. And I think you're somebody you should really talk to. That's much different than just saying, meet my friend Aaron. And then what happens, right? So where I'm going with that is this, is that a tactic is that you should never leave a conversation. You should never leave a conversation or make an introduction without teeing that person up, without putting your pitch for them before they say it first. Do you see what I'm going with this? Right? So pitch the person. So you should be pitching them. And quite frankly, what that does is because I'm the one making the connection, just whatever that is, they're now trusting me I'm now pitching you. It's now a natural connection that they want to know more about you because I've teed you up, right? Or you've teed somebody up. There's much more value than that, relationship versus transaction. Yeah. I've seen that work a million times over.
And this is like another subtle part of it, but I think it's almost easier to ask the question after someone else makes the intro, because no matter how good of an intro you could make for me, you don't have every detail of the whole operation. You don't have everything completely down. And there's probably something about your introduction of me that's going to leave someone wanting to know more.
Yeah.
Which is where that conversation really stems from. Whereas, you know, I think everyone gets in a situation where if they start talking about themselves,
yeah,
it's really hard to calibrate what's the end point. Where's the 20-second mark that I need to really make sure I'm checking in and I haven't lost people? It's very easy to take a step over that. And when you start to lose that interest, you start to lose that focus, that's kind of where things could potentially break down or just not pick up steam the way you hope they would. So when someone else is making that introduction, not only have you, you know, helped to build that trust, helped to build that bridge, but you kind of can be the catalyst for the conversation in a more powerful way.
And then you step back into the darkness and watch the magic happen, right? And you know, that's one of my tactics that I just love seeing happen, and something I try to do every single time I possibly am with in a social context, introducing people who otherwise wouldn't be introduced together, pitching for them. And then just fading away.
So another thing I wanted to ask you about, and I think this is definitely going to be helpful for listeners, is how you maybe see the connections that haven't been made yet and get those going, or when you choose which connections to make. Because I think that hopefully a lot of people can relate to knowing the person who seems to know everyone. If you need a plumber, if you need an accountant, if you need a lawyer, they literally have
I got a guy.
And they have the mental Rolodex, and they can just snap their fingers and call it up.
Yeah.
But for some people out there who don't have that internally and are trying to, you know, find that balance between, I want to be a connector, I want to be facilitating these things, but maybe my network isn't as expansive as Larry's. How do I figure out when I'm making a connection that is valuable for someone and going to, you know, be 1 + 1 = 3 versus I'm kind of like shoving two people into a box and it's like, I don't know if that's really perfect.
Well, so I appreciate that accolade there, but let's be honest here, is that not every connection is going to be a match made in heaven. And I can never guarantee that, nor could you. And if you could, then you'd be a very, very wealthy person. If you could truly make the right bets every single time and make those connections and make lasting connections. All you're doing is opening the door. And that's the way I treat every one of these kind of relationships that we're talking about here, is I'll open the door for anybody. It's up to them to run through it, right? So let's talk tactically about addressing your question, but also something that's very tactically about the networker. Right? The networker who wants to, you know, kind of become that or graduate to the connector, right? Very tactically, it's going to sound kind of hokey, but every business that's kind of worth their salt, if you will, in terms of building relationships, for our listeners who may be familiar with CRM, customer relationship management, right? CRM systems. Well, I think about people needing the equivalent. Okay, so we don't need CRM systems for ourselves. We need connection management. And let's get very tactical. How could you do this? Something that I've been doing for a very long time, and again, I'm going to geek out for a second. We're all users of Google. I have a Google sheet in my drive, okay, that I can access from my phone. I can access from anywhere, where when I meet somebody out and about, I take their name, what we talked about, when we talked about it, and what I think they might need help with. Literally, I'm keeping track of the people that I meet who are not just interesting, but either approached me or I've been connected with. I'm maintaining a literal database of people that I meet with, and I reference it all the time. I'm always going back to it, updating it, saying, you know, I'm going back to it and updating it with last time we chatted about, you know, they're starting a new company and they're looking for somebody. I maintain that database, as geeky as that sounds, as a constant reminder, as a way to go back and check it when I have downtime at work or I'm in transit. I'm looking through that thing. I'm looking through it. And it's a constant way to think about, oh, that guy that I met, what was his name again? Oh, because it's in this Google sheet. That's one way that kind of forces me to think about how I can connect people who I kind of cross paths with. Because look, at the end of the day, we meet so many people. We're social beings. We're out and about. We're at community events. We're at networking events. Long gone are the days of having stacks of business cards where you turn it over and write it on the back. I met John, and John's a computer science major at Carnegie Mellon, and you know, he was very personable. That doesn't mean anything. I can literally jump on my phone and thumb out, you know, 5 sentences about this person that I met very, very quickly, and I have it with me everywhere I go. So very tactically, that's something that I do to think about how I always make connections between people using the technology that's in my pocket.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think, so we're going to talk about this a little bit later and we will jump into it in more detail. But one of the things mentioned in the intro is that we're putting together a Facebook group that is really dedicated to helping people build skills as connectors and facilitating that and just making more people into better connectors. And one thing I definitely want to do, and we will follow through on doing, is providing an example of a sheet like the one you just described.
Sure.
Not necessarily with your entire Rolodex in there, but with a couple examples so that folks who may be a little phased or daunted by what that entails,
sure,
we can just offer them an exact example. So more details at the beginning and end of the show, but we will have that in there among other things.
Perfect.
So getting back to tactics for connection, you've heard Larry reference Unstuck, and I've also referenced Unstuck in previous social media posts and in previous episodes of the show. Guests like Kit Mueller, who is a founder of Unstuck, has been on the show as well. And one of the things that can facilitate your creation of these connections is to either start or join more groups. And I think I may have stolen one from Larry.
That's all
here.
Right, man. I got a couple more.
And we'll touch on that. But there's two examples of this, and it's really important to get the distinction between the two and how they can be connected. There's digital groups. So I'm a part of 8 to 10 Facebook groups where I would say 99% of the members I've never met in real life. And that doesn't mean we haven't had email conversations or phone calls or other conversations or even had previous conversations that have been on this show. But it's almost a purely digital relationship, which I think, you know, if my mom heard that now or if most people heard that 20 years ago, they'd be, you know, losing their minds that that would even be possible. But, you know, these group posts actually make up, I was actually counting before I came up here because I wanted to have this number right. Over 60% of my Facebook newsfeed is posts in the groups that I'm a part of.
Okay.
And I think that that also contributes to another thing of like, how do you curate the content that you're consuming? But it also is just in terms of the raw numbers of what I'm seeing and what I'm interacting with and whom I'm interacting with, these groups are a big part of that. And I think that one of the things people get lost in, so I think that's not uncommon advice. Join some LinkedIn groups or Facebook groups or whatever it may be. But it's the being active and always engaging with those groups that actually gives you a chance of getting any value out of it. If you're just the casual lurker who never even likes a post, never posts anything, never replies, never gives advice, never gives first, then you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't know why I'm part of any of these groups. I don't know what I'm getting out of this. But it's the groups where I'm very active and I ask questions and I answer other people's questions and I share my experience that not only do I feel like I'm a part of that community, but the connections actually come from that. So an example is I'm part of a podcasters group. And from being in that group, I've probably been on somewhere between 5 to 10 other shows. And if I wasn't a part of that group, and if I wasn't someone who contributed, and you know, you're not in there just touting your success. Whoa, I had 100 episodes, this, that, and the other thing. But you know, talking about I was a guest on Bruce's show, and Bruce did X, Y, and Z really well, and I think that we should all try to do that with every guest that comes on the show. That type of information contributes and builds.
So let me ask you, Aaron. You know, of those 5 podcasts that you were on, I think you were going there. Is how many did you do the initial outreach and say, "Can I be on your podcast?" Of those 5.
None.
Bingo. There you go, right? So a prime example of what you do just naturally, what we as humans do just naturally, which is being social and opening our networks and giving first, servant leadership, right? We do this every single day. Some people are much better at it than others, and some just have to mature to get there. There's a prime example of you asked for nothing and you got it back 5 times. Perfect example. A perfect example of building relationships versus not going after the transaction. Beautiful. Amen. Awesome example.
Yeah. And then the other side of that is the in-person group. And there is, you know, more and more the melding of the two where after the in real life meetup, you have the tweets or the Facebook group posts or whatever it may be that kind of follows up or builds on top of that.
Yeah.
But we can't underrate that. And so it's probably a great chance for you to talk about the Pittsburgh Adaptive Sports Network, which we mentioned in the last one as well. But you've started an in real life group before where you've brought people together into the same room and kind of created that magic that isn't necessarily there in the digital space. I think as much as I spoke highly about some of the digital groups I'm in, there's also the reality that when I'm not looking people face to face, when it's not being said with someone's inflection and eye contact and body language, it's easier to tune out some of the questions, easier to see this as just 2 lines of text as opposed to a real person typing out these words on another device somewhere else in the world. So can you talk a little bit about the in real life groups and what that's meant to you with Pittsburgh Adaptive Sports Network?
Yeah. So the Pittsburgh Adaptive Sports Network, as I alluded to back in episode 3, you know, this was an initiative, a movement, if you will, that has since gotten some legs, but like many things, you know, continues to be a project. It will eventually be what we hope for it to be, which is to be truly a true consortium here in Pittsburgh. And that's what it is virtually right now. It's virtually a meeting of the minds of many people who have a shared interest in a common topic, which, and this happens to be adaptive sports and recreation, right? And so this, what started as an outreach via social media and email and all these things, turned into what you alluded to, which was a physical meeting of the minds. And so we brought together over 150 people who we met online or met in, you know, the various facets of the community, and pulled them together to physically into one room. And this was about 2 years ago now with my co-founder, Jason Miller, who's again a mutual friend of ours and also another guest of yours as well. We brought together over 150 people physically into a room. And, you know, it's hard to describe because you kind of had to be there. But you could imagine when people walk into the room, knowing that they're coming to an event that's kind of like, hey, this is an information session kind of sharing thing. Who are these people and why are they here? And the magic that you alluded to when they started asking questions like, well, who are all these people? And it was simply saying, you are all part of this community, whether you realize it or not, who are all here offering a service, offering equipment, offering something that is for the greater good, which is for those with disabilities in our community to partake in sports and recreation. And it was pretty eye-opening, right? And so from that one kind of kernel of bringing everyone together physically, I know for a fact that there have been a lot of other collaborations that have happened as a result of that with organizations that wouldn't have otherwise known of each other, that wouldn't have otherwise collaborated together, that wouldn't have otherwise written for the same grants together. Those were dots in the community that were otherwise not connected and would have otherwise just gone on and done their own thing otherwise, where we physically brought the dots together, made them look each other face to face, realize who each other were, share each other's mission and vision and passion for a common thing, and now they're out doing amazing things in the community. And that's what it's all about. So maybe one example of kind of bringing that virtual world into the physical world. And now we're back in the virtual world, right? So we've got a Facebook page and all this kind of stuff where people still connect virtually. And it's a common thread, right? It's one way, now we're back in the virtual world, to stay connected around a common theme and build community. It's a lot of fun.
And what's really interesting is you use the word eye-opening, which I was almost hoping you'd say, because when you see all these people in the same room, that does something differently in terms of how you process it, where if you go into a group and you see that it has 5,000 people, that like almost doesn't even register with you for some reason, because it's just a number on a screen. But you look around a room with 150 people or however many people are in that room, and there's immediately this sense of community, this sense of belonging, because they've gotten to the same place and you either see, you know, the name of what organization they're a part of, or just knowing the name of the event and the purpose of the event, and knowing that these people would also come to that event means a lot more. And I would say similarly, you know, I can read an article about the Pittsburgh entrepreneurial community, or I can, you know, hear someone talk about it on a radio station or a TV or show or a podcast. But when I go to Unstuck and see the entrepreneurs there in the flesh, or I go up to one of the accelerators, Thrill Milk, Alpha Lab, wherever it may be, and see those people hard at work,
yep,
that's when I really feel the magic and the energy that is the community, and feed off of that and translate that back into the group. But I think it's very hard to just start with the group in a silo.
I mean, so what we're talking about, you break down, you know, so 100% agree with you. Break this down to its absolute fundamental core. We are creatures of not just habit. We like to associate ourselves or surround ourselves with people who share a common interest. Why does meetup.com exist and why is it so wildly popular? And things like it. Virtual context, this notion of place-to-space convergence, taking someone from a physical space and putting them into the virtual world, or vice versa, right? But at its fundamental, we are creatures who like to go to and have rituals and go to places and have rituals, whether that's a place of your worship or that's a place of, you know, going to you know, groups where you share information together, like Unstuck, like mastermind groups. And we'll talk about that in a second. This is just in our DNA as people. And so I think that as you're talking about, either the advice is for your listeners to just throw yourself into these things, go to the meetups, or just make your own, right? If there's something that doesn't exist and you see a white space, just make it up. Go there, invite people together and just kind of see who shows up. And at that point, you'll see when someone physically shows up to your points, they've already established, they've already taken the time to get up in the morning, put their clothes on and drive there. They have buy-in already. And, you know, at that point, it's a function of you, you know, creating a community around that. And that's what so much of this community building in Pittsburgh and entrepreneurial community in Pittsburgh is about, is these grassroots movements where like-minded people get together and share their ideas and help each other grow. That's where the magic happens.
And the magic of the internet, more than anything else, is the ability to uncover those very niche groups.
Very niche.
An entrepreneurial meetup isn't really that niche, I would say, but maybe you are a fan of a very specific type of music or piece of art or whatever it may be. There's probably a community around that if it has any sort of legs.
Underwater basket weaving. I didn't go, but I know it exists.
Alrighty, so we do need to start kind of having an eye on wrapping up, so I'm going to give you the last tactic.
Oh, the last tactic for me.
To drop on some people.
Oh, geez. I was just going to talk about the notion of creating a mastermind group, so we kind of touched on that one already. What about, let's see here, I had a list. So here's one. I think tactically, listen more. You should listen more and ask more questions than you do speaking. And, you know, that goes without saying for any kind of interaction you have. But I think the best connectors, especially those who are currently in the world of networking and want to do all the talking and kind of want to be the center of attention and kind of want to be the loudest as a part of the group, not the loudest, but be memorable. The best connectors are those who are doing more of the listening and less talking. And when they do talk, they're asking questions because they're inquisitive, because they are curious, because they are in the back of their minds trying to connect the dots between a person and an idea or an idea and an idea. And so like, okay, Larry, tactically, how the heck do I do that? I think that just comes with time. So practice asking better questions. You know, I think you are a master question asker, if there ever was such a thing. Obviously, I think you've gotten much better at asking questions and digging deeper, right? Obviously, the notion of this podcast. So the tactic is listen more, ask more questions, talk less. And I think that will be a good foundation for you to begin your own networking or connection journey, rather, from a networker to a connector. Listen more, talk less.
Yeah, and giving value when you do have something to say or making the recommendation is born from asking all the questions, gathering all that information,
yeah,
and then condensing into something that's really valuable, as opposed to just spouting off again and again like I occasionally do on this show.
No. Let's take this one step further now that we're talking about it, right? So here's another tactic is I would encourage your listeners to the extent that you can, once you feel comfortable, you know, thinking about connecting those dots in real time, is you should be leaving every single conversation with, hey, there's someone that I want you to meet. Or there's, hey, you made me think of somebody. I don't know what the connection is yet, but I think you'd really enjoy a conversation with them. Or you guys should get coffee. Or whatever it is, don't leave that conversation. I say leave the conversation in such a way that you are teeing up that person with somebody else. That's, I think, a really, not just interesting way, but a great way to keep the conversation going well beyond the, you know, microcosm of a conversation you can have kind of over 30 seconds.
I love it. We are going to start wrapping up now, and we want to talk about the Facebook group. It was mentioned briefly in the intro, mentioned briefly in the middle of this show, but we've started a Facebook group. We are putting our money where our mouths have been for the last couple minutes here and talking about Connection University, a Facebook group that is built on scaling one-to-one connections. So like we've said, it's not the networking group, it's the Connection University group, and we want to help more people be great at facilitating the one-to-one connections that we've both seen so much value from, both being on the receiving end of,
yep,
and creating for other people. So more people who facilitate those connections just means more people are going to meet the right people. And so that group is going to be a space where we can celebrate people who are taking the next step and leveling up as a connector. It's going to be a place where we're going to share resources where you can learn more and also just connect with the other connectors themselves and, yep, kind of feed off each other. Do you want to?
Yeah, no, I think so. It goes without saying, we're not trying to recreate LinkedIn here. this is focused on, you know, Pittsburgh to start, because there's already a groundswell of super connectors here in Pittsburgh. And this is not about Aaron and Larry. And, you know, this is about creating a medium, as we talked about, a virtual medium through which people can get together, share ideas, introduce each other, but to your point, celebrate connection that happened organically. Maybe it happened in a physical space and we took it online, or maybe it happened through this group and we take it offline. But that's the eventual hope, is where we can drive connection, drive community and relationships for people who wouldn't otherwise be connected together. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of it and, you know, sharing some best practices and some ideas. And I've got a lot to learn, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. If you want to be a part of it, you can connect with me on Facebook, Aaron Watson, or the Going Deep with Aaron Watson page, also Larry Gioia. And there will also be links in the show notes for this episode for how to hop in there and start participating. where else can we direct people, Larry, to connect with you in the digital world?
Yeah, so on Twitter as well, you can, if you just search for hashtag ABCD, I like to use that a lot. There are some others I found out there. I'm trying to move that up the ranks from a hashtag perspective, but you can find me on Twitter at LGIN412. LGIN412. I'm on Twitter, also on Facebook, and my LinkedIn profile is linked from my Twitter handle there. But yeah, let's connect online, and as we like to geek out and say, love to IRL, meet in real life. Let's take those connections online and make them in person. Look forward to meeting everybody.
For sure. Be sure to add Larry on Twitter and also take our challenge of joining Connection University. Thank you so much for listening and have a beautiful day. Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed that episode. Really quickly, please just make sure that you subscribe. If you're already listening and haven't already done so, I'd be kind of surprised. But please, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss any further episodes of the show. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, and you can also connect over at the website goingdeepwitharon.com. We've got the /join page where you can get our once monthly newsletter, just summarizing the best stuff that we found and a great addition to your inbox. I know that some people cringe at the idea of getting another email, but it is quality, insightful content that you will benefit from and won't get annoying because it's only once a month. So consider that and consider continuing to listen to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.